Welcome to Hampton Roads Perspectives, a public service of Odyssey and One Hour Cares. Weekly conversations about events and people making a difference in our community.
Good morning, Hampton Roads. It's Mary Catherine back with another edition of Hampton Roads Perspectives. And we always say, like, after COVID and not having guests in studio and recording these over the phone, it's always very exciting to have, like, real life humans in the studio. And I have a real life human in the studio with me. She's a mom. She's a military spouse. She seems like a very busy on-the-go person. So to have you sit down with us for 25 minutes, thank you for coming. Brittany Dunn from Safe House Project. Good morning.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
This is exciting. So I want to learn a little bit more about you. You are a military spouse, from what I gather, our emails.
Yes, I am. My husband's a helicopter pilot.
Is he really?
Yes.
Girl.
I know. When we go to talk to people, they want to hear about my work. And then they are like, oh, and what do you do? And he's like, I'm a helicopter pilot. And I'm like, okay, that's the rest of the conversation.
And then suddenly, we're gone.
Yep.
So are you from the area or are you moved here because of the military?
Moved here because of the military. Grew up in Colorado.
Wow. Well, welcome to the East Coast.
Yes, it's lovely.
I wish we had more mountains for you.
Yes, I do too, but the water's okay.
That's okay. The beach will do. So Safe House Project. I read a little bit about it, but sometimes I like to do these interviews and learn as I go. So tell myself and our listeners, what is Safe House Project?
Yeah, Safe House Project. We launched here in Hampton Roads in 2017. Three military spouses who really saw the impact of child trafficking in our communities and felt they need to respond. And so we had the opportunity to step out and really respond to increase survivor identification, provide emergency services to survivors, and really walk alongside individuals who are some of the most incredibly passionate, dedicated, resilient individuals in our community. And so we work every day to provide them paths to hope in a future.
Wow. And now when you say child trafficking, like I think I know what it is, but, you know, let's say I don't know what it is. You know, I think you see things that pop up on Facebook, like this man approached my daughter in the Target. Give us an outline of what exactly is child trafficking.
Yeah, there are so many misperceptions that it's definitely important to baseline people because it is such a complex issue. But at its basis, it's anytime somebody is sold for commercial sex. When somebody is under the age of 18, it's anytime it happens. If it's an adult, we have to prove that it's happened through force, fraud, or coercion. Those are really big words, but really it's, is the person in control? Do they have the ability to walk away? And if they don't, and somebody else is profiting from that, then it oftentimes is trafficking. And so we work every day to help increase identification, help people understand that a lot of the kids are first being trafficked by family members and people that they know and trust. It's it's very rarely abduction. And so how do we identify it in our...
You said it's very rarely abduction.
It's very rarely abduction.
It's happening in the home.
In the home.
I'm just going to say it. I had a girlfriend recently who will no longer allow her, and I don't want to be like an alarmist, but she will no longer allow her daughter to have sleepovers because she heard that through the grapevine, she was having sleepovers at some friend's house and there was some business happening that she just didn't feel safe. I mean, is that what you're talking? And this is happening in our community.
Correct. Yes. We estimate, when we launched, it was estimated that 300,000 American kids are being trafficked in their own community. And so that was really one of those big realizations for us, is that this wasn't an overseas problem. It wasn't one that we could ignore. And it was happening through a lot of different avenues that we weren't expecting. And so we have to understand where our kids are vulnerable and where we have the opportunity to step in and help.
Because I think a lot of us, especially, you know, moms, like, I mean, how many times a week are we at Target? How many times a week are we on social media where somebody's like, my daughter was approached in the store and this man followed us around? And, you know, that's sometimes in my head what I think is trafficking is, like, I got to keep my kids close to my shopping cart because somebody's going to snatch them and traffic them. But you're saying, yes, maybe that does happen, but a lot of this is in the home.
Correct. I mean, yes, obviously we all need to be aware and have our radar up when we're out in community all the time. We've always had to do that. But trafficking is much more of a slow grooming process into this crime. As a lot of the survivors that we work with say, it's kind of that old analogy. If you put a frog into a pot of boiling water, they're going to hop back right out because they know something's wrong. But if they turn up the water slowly over time and the asks get to be more substantial over time, they don't even realize what's happening to them. And so oftentimes this is a very complex relationship between a vulnerable individual and a trafficker. And so it's a relationship. It's not just always a moment in time.
Wow. Okay. So Brittany Dunn, again, in studio with us from Safe House Project. You said you started this organization with other military wives who just saw the need. And I saw when I was emailing you back and forth, the mentioning of the Super Bowl or something that was happening. Are you guys involved with an aspect of that out in Arizona?
Yes, we are. So we have teams on the ground. We brought them in earlier this week, and they will be here there through the following week, serving those who are exiting trafficking situations. Anytime we have big sporting events, big conferences, it just heightens the demand for trafficking. And as a result, it's a great opportunity for us to be out there reaching out to those who might be being victimized, offering them the support services that they need to exit that trafficking situation.
That's wild. And let's say that there is somebody out there right now who is in a trafficking situation. You know, let's say we're on a radio right now inside of a 7-Eleven and somebody's ears have perked up. Are there ways for children who are being trafficked or, you know, women who have gotten involved in trafficking children? Is there a way for them to get in touch with you, to call you, to reach out? What are the resources?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have our survivor referral system at safehouseproject.org/refer. You can come and fill that out directly, and we will get in touch with you within 15 minutes of you calling or of you filling out that form.
Wow.
And so our goal is really to make sure that people have the opportunity to exit those situations. Of course, you know, there are other, you know, the National Human Trafficking Hotline operates across the United States as well. That's mm-hmm. one avenue. But here in the Commonwealth, you can also call #77, which will go to the state police, and they will route and handle that call as well.
Wow. So it's #77.
Yes.
Just from your phone. And are there, you know, things that we can look for? I mean, is trafficking something that you're not going to be able to see with the naked eye? Or are there red flags? Are there warning signs?
There's absolutely warning signs. And I think what's important to note is that there's actually 25 distinct business models of human trafficking. It's not just one version of this. And so we have a training called On Watch. It's at iamonwatch.org that breaks down the different business models to help you understand what child trafficking by a family member looks like versus maybe an unhealthy relationship with a boyfriend or something along those lines. We look at it for those who might be, you know, in a exploitive relationship as a result of the adult entertainment industry. And so we really want to see it through a variety of perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to what can you really notice when you're just out there in community, oftentimes these individuals will not have the appropriate dress, maybe for the weather or the time of year. They might be with somebody who looks to have a power dynamic over them. They won't make eye contact with you. They won't answer questions if they're directly asked. They're really relying on the person that they're with to answer those questions. And so those are just a few of the things. We also see that sometimes the children, more specifically, will kind of dissociate or kind of seem removed from their situation.
Okay.
And not be present kind of in there.
Wow. I mean, this is incredible. I'm so happy. The word isn't excited, but I do get excited when I have the opportunity to share something that is happening in our community. And there's a way to stop it. There's, you know, women like you who step up and say, like, what can I do to help in this? Because, I mean, trafficking, has it been around for 10, 15, 20 years? Is it just getting worse?
So human trafficking has been around since the beginning of time. It's just the legal definitions haven't always been there to protect individuals. In the United States, the Trafficking Victims Protection Act of 2000 was when we really made trafficking illegal in the United States. Prior to that, we just didn't have the language for it. So a lot of the things that we have historically seen or known as child pornography, which we now refer to as child sexual abuse material, or prostitution, which oftentimes is actually trafficking, we have to change the language of the code really mm-hmm. to reflect the crime and who is a victim in that and who is the predator. And so there's a lot of work being done at the state and federal level to ensure that victims have the protections that they need when identified, and that we're strengthening our laws around prosecution of traffickers and buyers.
Wow. I mean, it just is, it's mind-blowing. It's terrifying, but you also know that, like, there's a way out, there's a way to end it, there's a way to help others. But this is the day and age we live in. And I read an article, not recently, maybe 6 months ago, and maybe even before that, that because of COVID and the pandemic and people not having the ability to go to work, people not having the ability to get a paycheck, that they turned to trafficking their young children to put food on the table.
They did.
To pay their rent.
Right. And that's what's so hard, is that so much of the prevalence of trafficking is fueled by so many other vulnerabilities that are existing within our communities. And COVID just exacerbated an already complex problem. And so we have to really look at this holistically and see its intersection points with other challenges that we're facing as a society. Mm-hmm. But when we each step in and do whatever part of that we can, whether it's on the prevention side, equipping ourselves as educators, as coaches, as parents to spot signs of grooming, or as healthcare providers to see signs of trafficking, you know, whenever we have these opportunities to kind of expand the aperture of what we're looking for, we really have an opportunity to change the life of somebody who mm-hmm. has been victimized. And I encourage everybody that you don't have to solve all of this. It's a big issue and it's a hard issue.
Yeah.
But it's also one where the individuals that we've had the opportunity to walk alongside are going back to college. They are pursuing their academic goals. They have found themselves in careers outside of just talking about trafficking. They're becoming nurses. They're becoming police officers. You know, there are people, they really have huge dreams to kind of correct the challenges in our society that maybe cause them to be vulnerable to trafficking.
I mean, this is amazing. I'm like, okay, wife, mother, military spouse, and then full-time safe house project boss lady. I mean, this is incredible. And so the best way for our listeners out there to get in touch with you is safehouseproject.org.
Yes, it is.
And let's say, too, I mean, I'm sure you're a 501c3. You rely on donations from the community. You can't, I mean, I'm sure you probably spend some of your own money, too, because you seem like a really wonderful person. But is there a way for the community to financially support what you guys are doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those donations are critical. We've already identified 6 survivors since our teams touched down in Phoenix on Tuesday, and it's only Thursday. And to get those individuals into a long-term restorative safe house program somewhere in the nation, we'll spend anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 per individual just to start that process of emergency care.
Wow.
And so these are deep needs to provide mm-hmm. transportation, food, basic needs. And so it's been incredible along the way. We have served, as of the end of 2022, we had served 300 survivors since the beginning of COVID. In the first month of 2023, we served 61 survivors of trafficking. So right now, our numbers are rising exponentially.
Wow. That, I mean, I have goosebumps, and not for a good reason. That's alarming. That's shocking. That's sad. That's really terrifying. And the prosecution of these traffickers, you know, I'd like to just touch on that a little bit, because this is against the law.
Right.
I mean, this is a crime.
Yep.
So what does that look like from a prosecution standpoint?
Prosecution is extremely challenging. It is definitely necessary and needed, but it comes with its unique challenges. And so a lot of the work that the safe house programs do over up to 2 years of somebody living there is provide somebody with the resources, mental health, therapeutic, mm-hmm. you know, life skill training, things that will help them stabilize so that they are a stronger witness in these cases. Because when they're first coming out of that exploitive situation, they're raw. I mean, you really have to help somebody get on stable footing, maybe detox, you know, mm-hmm. all of these different things that, you know, you have to handle. And then that will help with the increasing of prosecution. We're also seeing, you know, the Commonwealth put a lot of attention on this issue, which is really encouraging. I mean, the governor made it his executive order on the very first day that he was sworn into office. Like, we need people paying attention to the issue in order for us to see prosecution rise.
And do you think a lot of people, I like that you said people need to pay attention to the issue, because obviously, you know, there are issues that are on the forefront and people think about, you know, gun control and research to cure cancer and all of these things. And talking about trafficking, it's not a comfortable conversation to have. And it's not something that, like, come out Saturday morning to the oceanfront for a trafficking walk. There's going to be donuts and we're going to, you know, like, it's, we know it exists and we want to do something for it, but it's just, unfortunately, a lot of us aren't comfortable talking about it.
Right. No, it is. It's a very uncomfortable topic and we acknowledge that fully. And with that, there's so much opportunity here to talk about it, though, from a prevention lens. How do we strengthen our kids? How do we really encourage people to talk about what is predatory behavior with their kids on social media? Where, how do we teach people to be strengthen sense of self? And so I think there's ways to do this from not just, okay, always talking about the hard things that are happening, but also ultimately prevention leads to eradication.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where, if you're feeling uncomfortable with the conversation, start there. Start with, like, taking on watch and realizing what you can do within your own sphere of influence. And then over time, you might be more interested in other parts of the dialogue. But education precedes action, and we have to understand a problem before we can respond to one. And I think that until you work to understand this issue, it feels big, it feels scary. But I've also seen so many people step in with the right heart and mm-hmm. find their place in the solution. And that's been really powerful. Like, we've had so many survivors walked who have had members of the community walk alongside them. You know, if you're a victim of child trafficking, you're not going home for Christmas dinner to your family. So where are you spending that? You know, how can we just step into the lives of individuals who might have experienced hard things and really serve them in a way that makes them feel like they belong? And that's really the beauty of it. The relationship goes both ways. It's not just about us, you know, feeling like we're just pouring out to them. They have taught me so much. They have been the greatest inspiration for so much of the work that we do. And they're the half of our staff is now survivors of trafficking who work with us every day to push for better and stronger solutions because they know what's needed. And so that's amazing. And to be part of their kids' lives and see them, you know, eventually want to get married, eventually, you know, have mm-hmm. the life that everybody else has, that's possible. And
absolutely.
That's what's amazing is I love
and to have that freedom.
Hope. Yeah.
To have that, to be out of that situation.
Right. People just need to be given that second chance to find a way out. And they need the support services to do it. And we have to recognize where we are talking about a lot of other complex issues in our community, mental health, suicide, you know, prevention on so many different fronts. And it's like, if we pulled the thread, what would we find under the surface as the cause of so many of these other debates?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be the fact that 1 in 9 girls will experience sexual abuse by an adult before the age of 18? 1 in 53 boys? Maybe we should start with what is happening to our kids that maybe we're not acknowledging. And I think we would find that a lot of the other issues would make a lot more sense.
I think you're right. I think you're really, I think you're right. And I think a lot of us too, you know, in this day and age with, I have young children, so do you. A lot of us, a lot of you out there listening might, we rely so heavily now on just play on your iPad. Like, I'm busy, play on your iPad. And it's like, well, who are you playing with on your iPad? Who's talking to you in Roblox? What's going on over here?
Right.
Like, it's, you just gotta, and I know we're all busy and we're all stressed out and we're all trying to do 1,000 things, but if you find out, you know, get to that, pull that thread, like you said.
Yeah, you have to pull the thread. I mean, and kids are asking you to. So many of the individuals we've had the opportunity of serving, they say, I felt like I was wearing a neon sign that said, help me. I just didn't know, because trafficking is a new word to so many of us. We don't fully understand, for a lot of adults, what that actually means. Children can't walk up and say, I'm being trafficked, but they can, you know, indicate that they're being hurt, that they're being abused, that they're not feeling safe. So we have to look at those indicators that they're sending us, because in their mind, they're doing everything they can because they don't have the language for what's happening to them.
Wow. This is incredible. Well, if you have a fundraiser, if you have a walk, I want to be there. I want to do more with you.
You can come to our gala October 7th.
Is that okay? So yes. That is happening.
Oh, yes. October 7th at the Marriott on the oceanfront.
October 7th.
Night.
Okay.
It's fantastic. It's all about celebrating the successes. We get to celebrate all the ways that people's lives are being transformed. It's fantastic.
Do you need sponsors? Do you need money?
Absolutely. Always.
Hit her up. Give Brittany your money. Okay, so what is the best way? You know, because sometimes this, it happens. We talk about these things and there's that one listener whose ears perk up and they are so touched by the conversation. So is the best way, if somebody's out there listening and they want to be a sponsor, October 7th, come out, support Safe House Project. Just go directly to the website.
Website, or you can email me, Brittany, Brittany, at safehouseproject.org.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
Wow. I mean, Brittany, I am, you know, again, I knew trafficking was a thing. I know it's talked about. I know what the governor did in the state of Virginia, but it's still not a conversation that we're having enough of. And I think that this is the best 20 minutes of radio, and to be able to share this message with our listeners, it's incredible, because people, you know, people don't want to talk about this, but it's happening and we have to have it stop. Especially if you are the parent of a young child, this could be your child one day.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, you are going to be the hero in that person's life. Like, every single survivor knows the person who first saw them. That you can't take that for granted. Like, no. That is such a beautiful moment when somebody feels known, seen, and loved. They will remember that for the rest of their life. And that is what makes transformation happen.
Wow. My mom has a needlepoint sign up in our house, my childhood home. And it says, to love and be loved is the greatest gift of all.
Exactly. That's what we all want. We want to feel like we are loved and that we belong. And when we are able to provide those pathways to freedom for individuals, they have an opportunity to find that. They get to find a future free of victimization.
Wow. I'm so excited that we met. Brittany is a busy woman, and we were going back and forth on scheduling and times, and I was like, I don't know when. I'm so glad we made this happen.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. So Brittany Dunn, Safe House Project. Go to safehouseproject.org. Put October 7th down on the calendar for the big gala. And then if you want to sponsor, if you want to get involved, if you're a victim, if you want to help, if you need help, reach out to Safe House Project or #77.
Awesome. Thank you for your time
today.
Thank
you, Brittany.
This is great.
Flew by 22 minutes. Y'all have a great Sunday.
Bye.
This has been Hampton Roads Perspectives. If you would like to share information about an organization or event to be featured on a future program, please send us an email. The address is hrp@audacy.com, or write to Odyssey, 236 Clearfield Avenue, Suite 206, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23462. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Odyssey Radio. Hampton Roads Perspectives is a public service of Odyssey and One Hour Cares.